Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The country of Uganda recently passed a law enacting the death penalty on anyone who's gay. Well, that's how the American media has portrayed the law. The law is actually the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality, where a homosexual sodomizes a minor, or where a homosexual knowingly infects another person with AIDS. Uganda does not execute people for being gay, as it's called, but there are prison sentences for homosexual behavior. That Uganda would pass this new law as Western nations are celebrating June, Gay Pride Month, is a great offense to the LGBT crowd and their supporters. President Biden issued a statement about the law, quote, "The enactment of Uganda's Anti-Homosexual Act is a tragic violation of universal human rights, one that's not worthy of the Ugandan people, and one that jeopardizes the prospects of critical economic growth for the entire country. I join with people around the world, including many in Uganda, in calling for an immediate repeal. No one should have to live in constant fear for their life or being subject to violence and discrimination. It's wrong." So in this week's program, this is what I want to discuss. Is this really wrong? Is this a violation of human rights? Is this violence and discrimination to have capital punishment against homosexual rape? Or is this objection to this law merely personal opinion, based on nothing more than man is God? And is this objection coming from leaders in the West just another sign of the lawless immorality of our day? The United States used to have the exact same laws as Uganda has today. Were we wrong? Were our forefathers unenlightened, homophobic bigots? Or did they understand something that our current ungodly generation has forgotten? Something about the nature of sin and the role of the state in enforcing God's judicial punishments. So this issue, this new law in Uganda, is a good opportunity to look into what God himself has to say about this in the scriptures. I wouldn't have even considered doing a program about this law in Uganda until I read Senator Ted Cruz's tweet. Cruz tweeted out, "This Uganda law is horrible and wrong. Any law criminalizing homosexuality or imposing the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality is grotesque and an abomination. All civilized nations should join together in condemning this human right abuse." Now, Ted Cruz, from what I understand, is a genuine Christian. His father was a pastor. He attended a Christian school. So he should have an above average knowledge of the Bible, especially in the area of civil government. But it surprised me that he made that statement, because biblically, the death penalty for rape is the law of God. And it's not as if God made a mistake in giving the law. Now, there are some evangelicals who claim the Old Testament law was only given to Israel, or that it was abrogated in the establishment of the new covenant. But even nations today still believe in the standards of the moral law of God given in Deuteronomy. Laws against murder, rape, theft, incest, polygamy. Are we now to just pick and choose which moral laws of God we want to enforce? And if we are, where is that permission to pick and choose found in the new covenant? So let me just suggest that Ted Cruz is talking off the top of his head, being influenced more by the culture than scripture, which happens to all of us. Because if one thoughtfully looked into the Bible, one could never make the definitive statement that the law in Uganda against aggravated homosexuality is grotesque and abomination. What is grotesque and an abomination is not the law, but the immoral practice that the law addresses. So what a crazy, upside down thing for Ted Cruz to say. If he were to call anything grotesque or an abomination, it should be aggravated homosexuality itself. You know, as a Christian, you'd think he might tweet, "I think this law might be too harsh, but it's certainly addressing a crime that's grotesque and an abomination." And it looks like many Christians, Ted Cruz has been subtly influenced by LGBTQ ideology in our day. It's the LGBTQ movement that's calling any moral law against them grotesque and an abomination, because they have flipped God's moral law on its head, calling evil good and good evil. How could Ted Cruz call a capital punishment law against homosexuals who rape other people a grotesque abomination? So that's Ted Cruz's mistake. But then Russell Moore wrote an article in Christianity Today also condemning the law in Uganda, entitled "Don't Pretend the Ugandan Homosexual Law is Christian." Russell Moore is the head of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission from 2013 to 2021. He was often criticized for leaning a little bit too far to the left. And in this article, Russell Moore tries to give a theological explanation for why this law in Uganda is wrong. And he kind of parrots off of the typical evangelical hasty conclusions, such as we're not under the Old Testament law. If we have any laws against homosexuality, we're going to have to outlaw the eating of pork and shellfish. And we can't impose biblical law on the world. It really surprised me that a man with his background would make these questionable, broad-brushed arguments, because these arguments have been soundly refuted by the classic theologians. Just because there are some Old Testament laws against eating pork doesn't mean that all the moral law of God in the Old Testament is to be set aside. There's a distinction between the dietary laws in the Old Testament and the moral law of God. The dietary laws of God were set aside, as we see in Acts chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 9, but the moral law of God has not changed. Homosexuality is still a sin, and it's a sin addressed in the New Testament. And the state does have a responsibility before God to enforce laws against immorality, especially homosexual rape. In my YouTube version of this program, I will list each of Moore's arguments and give a quick refutation, just to be complete in covering this issue. But for now, here is a response I believe Christians need to first give in regard to this law in Uganda. It's a response that we see Jesus made in the Gospels, such as Luke 13, when the people came up to Jesus and asked him about some Jews that Pilate killed in the temple. Luke 13:1. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, to Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, all commentaries believe that what's going on here is that Pilate arrested some notorious Jewish terrorists who were zealots, maybe part of the Sicarii, who would go around assassinating Romans. Pilate's soldiers caught these men in the temple while they were performing sacrifices. Now, obviously, it wasn't Pilate himself doing this, but this was done under Pilate's authority and law. So the Jews at this time were wondering, was it right for Pilate to arrest them in the temple? And was it right for Pilate to practice capital punishment upon these men? But notice how Jesus responded. Jesus didn't criticize Pilate, but he turned the table around on these Jews asking the question. Luke 13:2, Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So if you think what Pilate has done to sinners is horrible, what will you think when you stand before a holy God at the judgment seat? And that's truly the Christian evangelistic response to the Uganda law. That's what the world really needs to hear in regard to this law. If you think the Uganda law is harsh, wait until you see God's punishment in sending homosexuals to hell. Jesus said, "Fear not him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. The Ugandan law should be the least of people's concern. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8. All immoral persons will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Why is Ted Cruz calling the Ugandan penalty for homosexual rape an abomination, and Russell Moore calling it a violation of human rights? Because that's not what God has to say about it. In the New Testament book of Jude, we read about God's punishment on the homosexual cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So notice the sin of these cities was the breaking of God's moral boundaries. Men in their lust going after the flesh of other men. And the verse points out that Sodom wasn't an exception, but an example of what God thinks of and how he judges such sin. And notice the text says they underwent the punishment of eternal fire. Now, the fire that came down upon Sodom wasn't an eternal fire, but what the text is saying is that the earthly punishment of fire also meant that their eternal destiny was fire. The judgment on earth reflected the eternal judgment of God. And the state, civil magistrates ordained by God, are to reflect the justice of God on earth. As we read in Romans chapter 13, the state is to be an avenger against evildoers. Of course, within the prescribed limits of the law of God for the state. So now let's get to the legal aspects of this issue. Now, people want to go right to that aspect, the role of civil government in regard to the law of God. But as I mentioned, the first emphasis needs to be God's law and his punishment. But in regard to national law, many nations have laws against homosexual behavior, and this is especially true in Muslim countries, because Muslim countries still base law upon theism. That law is not a function of human utilitarianism, but law is a function of God's righteousness. The European Court has stated, quote, laws against homosexuality serve no legitimate public interest. Well, since when do laws, moral laws, need to serve a public interest in order to be true? And in this we see the humanist ideology of the European Court, the law positivism of Oliver Wendell Holmes, that law is derived from the will of man, what best helps man. And so even conservatives today tried to argue the case against same-sex marriage on some utilitarian basis. Or they argue against abortion on the basis of damage to the woman's psyche or to her body. But that is a humanistic, man-centered basis for law, which always comes up short of true justice. Now, God's laws are for man's good, but man will never understand the long-term effects of sin, and God wants a nation righteous not for man, but for respect for the proper authority of the Creator. So, the bottom line is that in that Western nations have abandoned God, laws against homosexual behavior have been overturned. As I said earlier, the United States used to have the same laws as Uganda. Rape was a capital offense, whether homosexual or heterosexual. And homosexual behaviors meant imprisonment and fines. The last law against homosexuality in America was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2003. In the case Lawrence versus Texas. And this ruling made same-sex activity legal in every state and in every United States territory. And just 12 years after the passing of that law in 2015, homosexual marriage is legalized. That was the logical extension to making homosexuality legal back in 2003. And now we have laws defending transgenderism as a civil right, which is also the logical extension. This is what happens when you base civil law on human utilitarianism, on human rights, not God's rights. And soon there's going to be polygamy and incest and pedophilia, because love is love. And no moral law of God can be referenced, because as Christian leaders like Russell Moore claim, the moral law of God in the Old Testament doesn't apply to the state today. So I hope you see how Russell Moore and others are making a major theological error, opening the door to lawlessness by having a hasty and shallow understanding of the application of the moral law of God in our day. Paul's words in Romans chapter 1, verse 32 are an interesting text to look at in regard to discerning the role of the Old Testament law in the state today. After Paul describes the sin of homosexuality, he writes, "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." So Paul is saying that the ordinance of God is the death penalty. Now, in the previous verse, Paul gives an entire list of sins: greed, envy, disobedience to parents, unloving, unmerciful. But Paul seems to be listing those sins as being part of those who are given over to a depraved mind, the depravity of homosexuality. And then in verse 32, Paul might be getting back to the specific subject of homosexuality, because Paul states that the ordinance of God in this regard is the death penalty. And Paul, being a Jewish rabbi, knew the law of God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. "If there's a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them." Now, was that requirement only for the state of Israel? In the prophetic oracles against the nations, the Gentile nations surrounding Israel were also condemned by God for permitting the same immorality. The Canaanites were removed from the land for practicing and permitting homosexuality. This moral law of God was not just for Israel. And clearly, homosexuality is still the same sin in the New Testament as in the Old Testament. There's no text in the New Testament that states that the role of the state in punishing homosexuality has changed. Now, certainly modern states have ignored God's law. They've been insensitive to God's law, thinking, you know, how terrible it would be to enforce any law against immorality. But that modern attitude doesn't negate what the Bible actually teaches. We're the problem, not the Bible. Now, the New Testament is generally silent concerning the state's specific enforcement of law. All we read is that general principle in Romans 13 that the state is to be an avenger against those who do evil. But that silence concerning the specifics is not permission, nor does it mean there should be a lessening of God's formerly prescribed judicial punishments. Nor does the silence of Jesus have any bearing upon the issue, because the New Testament is likely silent because the whole subject has already been addressed in the moral law of God given to Moses. You want to find out what God expects the state to do in regard to being an avenger of evil? Then look at what God told Israel. And in early American law, Blackstone commentary on Old Testament case law became the basis for American law, because at one time there was a respect for the universal application of the law of Moses. Now, in Calvin's commentaries on civil government, Calvin addressed this issue of the role of the Mosaic law among Gentile nations. And Calvin's conclusions really reflect the overall understanding of the church in this regard. Calvin wrote this: "Each nation has been left at liberty to enact laws which it judges to be beneficial. Still, these are always to be tested by the rule of charity, so that while they may vary in form, they must proceed on the same principle. Those barbarous and savage laws, for instance, which confer honor on thieves, allowed for promiscuous intercourse of the sexes, and other things even fouler and more absurd, I do not think entitled to be considered law, since they are not only altogether abhorrent to justice, but to humanity and civilized life. So here Calvin says that specific laws of the state do not need to follow exactly the same prescriptions as the law given to Israel, but must follow the same principle. And then even Calvin himself would expect the state to have laws against homosexuality based on the principles laid out in the law of Moses. So this gets very deep. But the bottom line is that although there may be slight deviations from the law of Moses, the general Christian consensus has been that the prescribed laws given to Israel are to be a timeless pattern. And all laws need to reflect that moral law of God. How that's to be implemented by the state is patterned for us in Old Testament law. To say that the state's law enforcing capital punishment against homosexual rape is a gross abomination is a complete disregard for the law of God, a foolish ignorance. You know, God has a good reason for the laws he required of Israel. God wasn't being vengeful or being an unrighteous judge. You know, I can imagine a day in which a nation, after paying the social cost for legalizing homosexual practices, comes to the place where good people realize that homosexual tolerance doesn't work. It opens the floodgate of all sorts of lust of the flesh, and the behavior of homosexuality is not contained to people's personal lives. For the survival of the society, the family, the survival of children, this sin must be nipped in the bud early, made illegal. It's funny we don't learn or know these things until after we reap what we've sown. The West, because of its Christian influence and law, assumes that abominable sins are not so bad and not so devastating upon a people, because we're living on all of that moral capital built up by Christianity. You know, people today say, look, there are these homosexuals and these abortionists, and the world hasn't come to an end. We're all just fine. So laws against homosexuality serve no legitimate public interest. But just wait 100 years. When abortion results in a complete disrespect for all life in the society, and homosexuality destroys family and children, then all of a sudden, people realize that God was right and they were wrong, but often it's too late. One sinner destroys much good. So to save many lives, sin needs to be stopped early. It needs to be stopped often in a radical way. But this is the problem with mankind. Unbelief. People don't believe God. So they cannot enter into God's promises because of unbelief. But I trust that you believe, that you trust God, that you believe his word at face value, not resorting to your own rationalism or opinions, not swayed by the culture, and that you're blessed by God for your obedience to his perfect will. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the extended video version of this program with much more commentary. Is at the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube and Rumble. The radio website for all the links is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, how foolish and wrong we are in so many of our conclusions. We miss the whole point in every story. We judge according to appearances rather than according to righteous judgment. We condemn the laws of the state and do not realize that unless we repent, we will also perish. Father, help your people to return to your word. For Christ's sake and in whose name we pray. Amen.